Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and welcome to the Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. With me, Gabriel Shadar. And today we are having our team in Upper Nile. They have traveled from Juba here to Upper Nile and they are in Malakal, which is our Miraya on the road. Today we will be with them there. We will have a discussion there. And my colleague, Taban Geoffrey, is having a guest from there. Taban, let's see if you are hearing me loud and clear.
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear, Gabriel Shadar. Can you hear us?
Yes, and then that is the line is with you there until you get back, because I understand there will be no time for phone-ins and callers, but we will carry on until you finish there. Welcome. Welcome, Geoffrey. Geoffrey, I miss you. If you are getting me, let's see if you are confirm that you are hearing me on this line. It's still Listeners Radio Miraya. This is me, Gabriel Shadar. This is the Nationwide Discussion Hour. And as I said, we are connecting from Malakal in Upper Nile State with my colleague Taban Geoffrey. He has his guest there as part of the Miraya on the Road program. And this is our project in which we go to the States and we visit many places. Taban, I hope you are hearing me.
Yes, Gabriel Sadara, I hear you loud and clear.
Yes, yeah, you can carry on.
Thank you so much, Gabriel Sadar, and thank you to all the listeners of Radio Miraya. This is Nationwide, and we are broadcasting live from Upper Nile State, Malakal. And with me here, I have the UNMIS Head of Field Office in Malakal, Upper Nile State, Alfred Orono, and we'll be discussing on the current issues and current situation in the state, especially looking at peace and conflict. We'll also be talking about some of the activities or some of the support that UNMIS is giving to the people of Upper Nile State in de-escalating and preventing conflict. We'll also be talking on how the UNMIS is preparing the redesignation of the POC site into settlements. And of course, a little bit discussion will be on the supply route that UNMIS is supporting, the road connecting some of the counties to the state capital. Let me take this opportunity to welcome our guest. Welcome, UNMIS State.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Malakal. Happy to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you, Alfred Orono, and it has been a pleasure for us to be here in Upper Nile State, a state known for its a long historical value to the people of South Sudan. And let's go to some of the key discussions that we'll have today. We'd like to understand what is the current situation of conflict, peace, and security in Upper Nile State as a whole, as we are in this current situation.
When you look at Upper Nile, it's a very large state.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a large part of the western part of Upper Nile.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively peaceful. The issues we have are mostly...
Yes.
Sorry. Around the eastern part, southeastern part,
mm-hmm.
Nasir County, and Ulam, mm-hmm. and Balye. There's been a reduction in conflict to a large extent,
mm-hmm.
in Nasir and Ulam counties. And recently we had the incident in Balye County,
mm-hmm.
where there's a cattle raid in mm-hmm. Balye County. That led to anxiety and displacement of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we have
most of the issues.
Mm-hmm.
In Malakal, generally peaceful, and until the last few days, we had an incident where some cattle keepers, their camp was attacked, and they were killed. I think three of them died, and their cows taken. And then there was also another incident that happened last night,
mm-hmm.
where he had just a mental town in a place called Asso. And then today we also had two incidents again that happened, criminal activity. And, well, people read into other connotations.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer to look at this as criminal activities by elements who don't like peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been enjoying a relative peace in Malakal for a very long time. Yes, incidents like this happens, but the good thing is that the government comes in so quickly. They deploy, they call communities together, and they talk. And ANMIS also supports in bringing communities together and talking and discussing, and they agree and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of activity arrangement has kept us in relative peace for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm optimistic that the incident of today and yesterday will be handled.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is that the government is going to take action, conduct investigations into this, and let people know exactly what happened. Because people always want to know the role of the government in dealing with these issues. So far they have shown it. They have, if you go to town, I just came back from town, it's a heavy deployment of forces, mm-hmm. it's heavy patrols in all areas in town, Asosa, Hemotar, even around the POC. They deploy around the POC to ensure that people are calm. And the governor, the acting governor, with his other officials, were walking around the town today to show that. I hope that by tomorrow morning, all the shops will be open. Some shops started opening this afternoon. I saw physically when I went to town.
Mm-hmm.
And people are building a level of resilience. You know, things happen, people get shocked. They have seen so much over the years,
mm-hmm.
to be able not to trust a gunshot or a killing. But afterwards, they settle down and then they get the correct information. Because in times like this, of course, the social media, I'm sure now the social media is awash with a lot of information about Upper Nile, about Malakal.
Mm-hmm.
And for us who are here, we know, we see the situation as it is, and we are dealing with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that is about the security situation. When you go up in Maban, you know, things are okay in Maban. The normal criminal activities, especially around the refugee camps. In Rank, the usual criminal activities. Fangak, Tunja area is calm. They recently got a new county commissioner. So generally we have been okay, except for the areas that I've pointed out already. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Orona. And it's good to hear that some of the locations are calm and security situation is okay, and also some of the issues that are happening, and they are mostly criminal activities, and the government is working very hard to calm the situation. I would like to understand from ANMIS perspective, how have you been supporting the people of Upper Nile State to de-escalate some of these tensions and prevent violence that are happening in the state? And as you said, it has really gone down for quite a good level.
Our civil affairs section,
mm-hmm.
has been working so hard. We had, together with IAM and I think UNHCR, we held a conference of Fashoda and the Coca counties here in sometime last year. And that brought the two committees together. We also had another workshop which brought together the youth,
mm-hmm.
of all the counties in Upper Nile. We also had another engagement with
It seems you have lost the line for a few seconds.
Hello, Kunwer and Dinga communities.
Come again?
Yeah, we have lost you for a few seconds. Yeah. We have lost you for a few seconds, but you can carry on now. We can hear you.
Okay. Talking about the
It seems we are having challenges there. Taban, are you hearing me? Because the line is getting lost.
Clear. Can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can hear you, yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. As I said before, we were talking about how UNMISS is supporting the people of Upper Nile State in terms of preventing de-escalation of conflict into violence, and our guest Alfred Orono has been explaining to us, discussing on how UNMISS is working, especially the Civil Affairs Office. So, Alfred, please, may you continue.
Yeah, we have brought together different communities in Upper Nile to come together and engage on issues of peace and living together in peace and harmony. And I think we made a lot of strides into it. Mm-hmm. You see, these are things, they're not like a switch. For peace. We're building a foundation for engagement. We're building a foundation for interaction between the communities. We're building a foundation to
Taban, we have lost you again. Are you getting me?
What we do is instantly happens. They don't know that this is a seed that we're throwing on the ground, and it's going to germinate. With the government of Upper Nile, in all this, we move together. We support them in the helicopters when they want to travel to remote areas. Mm-hmm. So that alone is a very big support on our side. Mm-hmm. To bring peace. We recently transported the governor to Ulang at the time when it was really very serious. Mm-hmm. And he spent about 3 days there. Mm-hmm. Together with our civil affairs people. Mm-hmm. And they were able to engage. Mm-hmm. So we do it not just directly by us engaging them, but also by providing support to the government officials, mm-hmm. by providing support to their workshops, by providing support to the religious leaders who are going around and talking to people in Rank, in Maban, and even in Juba, going to tell those meetings all about peace. Mm-hmm. So we are trying our best, and as you say, UNMISS is a partner in peace, mm-hmm. and we take that very seriously. No. And we are quick in
Yes, listeners to Radio Maria, we are having problems with the network there, and we will be shifting to another line, and we will continue the conversation from there on a different line, and we will carry on a different line. So yes, and we are still carrying on with our conversation from Upper Nile with the Nationwide, and we are having today Mirai on the Road team there Yes, Taban, you are hearing me? You are hearing me, Taban?
Yes, I can hear you clear. Would you like us to switch to...
Yes, you switch to Teams, so that will be better. And listeners, Radio Maria, we're still carrying on. We have switched to another medium of communication, so that we can have an uninterrupted broadcast from Upper Nile, from Malakal, because the network issues, we are having a poor connection there on the other line. But I hope that this line now will be more clear and we will not have interruptions on that. So, Taban, please, you can carry on. Yes, welcome.
Thank you so much, Gabriel Sadar, and thank you for those who are listening to us. We were discussing, as I said before, about UNMISS support to the people of Upper Nile. And if you have just tuned in, our hopeful, the head of the field office in Upper Nile State, Alfred Orono Orono, has been discussing how the UNMISS has been supporting building institutions and including prisons, court houses, and also some of the police stations. And these are some of the supports that can help the people of Upper Nile State to provide security and protection for its citizens. And as we proceed, we will also later on be able to open lines for you to talk to our hopeful, who is here with us. And as we move on, Alfred, we would like to also know, we understand that UNMISS is redesignating the protection of civilian site in Malakal to a settlement site. I call it correctly. How have you progressed in this handing over or the redesignation of this protection of civilian site? What are some of the things that you need people out there to know on this progress?
Thank you very much. This POC has been in existence since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost like 12 years, 13 years,
mm-hmm,
existing. Some kids who came here when they were 4 years are now adults.
Mm-hmm.
They're big people. And they are living in very uncomfortable conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And this primarily because the UN comes in to set up camps like this. And that's the protection of civilian mandate, is when the government is unable or unwilling to protect civilians.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, as you know, there was a lot of chaos in Upper Nile.
Mm-hmm.
There was no government, mm-hmm, in Upper Nile. So absolutely, the UN had to come in to protect civilians who can. And by 2023, Upper Nile started to have a working government.
Mm-hmm.
They had the army, the police, the prisons started working, and the course of law, with the support of UNMISS,
mm-hmm,
we were able to bring mobile courts and brought here people to develop the capacity of the SSNPS, mm-hmm, and the corrections and the judges. So they started developing a government with working, functioning institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we started building police stations.
Mm-hmm.
And all that geared towards establishing an environment where the government is able to take over its primary responsibility,
mm-hmm,
to protect civilians, because the primary responsibility to protect civilians lies on the government.
Mm-hmm.
So 2023, 2024, 2025, we've seen a lot of improvement in, mm-hmm, this. And the IDPs started moving freely. We established the Haimotar area and El Wakat,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of IDPs moved out with the support of humanitarians who built for them houses in Haimotar, and people moved there.
Mm-hmm.
Haimotar is only about 500 or 600 meters from the POC.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2023, as you recall, there was an issue in the POC where the majority of the Nuer community, that was the POC,
mm-hmm,
moved out.
Mm-hmm.
They moved out, and we were able to settle them in an area called Bulkat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were under the protection of the government. Up to today,
mm-hmm,
there's not been an incident where the government has failed to protect the community that moved to Bulkat.
Mm-hmm.
Up to today, there's not an incident where the government has failed to protect the community in Bulkat or in Haimotar. The fact, mm-hmm, they are living there. When we had the fighting in Fangak, the issues in Nasir, the issues in Ulang, nobody ran to inmates for protection.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a curfew in the POC. People move out, in and out freely. And last year, they did a test. We moved our forces outside the perimeter, and we started just patrolling, leaving the POC under the control of the people, empowering the community watch group, their leadership, to take on the responsibilities of protecting themselves, which they have done. November, December, January, one night in February, they have been carrying out their affairs on their own. And we also let the government officials come to the POC to visit and talk to the people. The governor has had two visits, the new governor has had two visits since he came, one in November and then one in Boxing Day. And we continue engaging the community, informing them that, listen, it is come time for you to accept your government. The government is showing a willingness to protect you, and is doing that. You are now taking your cases directly to the police, because before they are afraid of taking their people to the police, because they say that the majority of the police there were one part. But now I think the government was able to deal with that issue, and they on their own, when there's an issue, instead of the POC, they go to the government, they bring an arrest warrant, and someone is taken, which is fantastic, because it means that they have confidence in their judicial system. I traveled with the governor to meet the king, and I brought this issue to his attention, and he gave the go-ahead, said it was okay, as long as the government is able to protect the people. I've spoken to the leadership of the Shield community and explained to them the steps that we are taking. And we also talked to the community here, explained to them the steps that we are taking. And what's going to happen is that they are going to run their own administration. There's going to be a police post established, a bigger police post established to deal with the issues. And 2 days ago, when we had a report of an imminent attack on the POC, the government showed its willingness and capacity to protect civilians, because it deployed a large force around the POC and in Habotar and in the whole town. For us, we realized that was just a rumor, which of course was being perpetrated by people whom I think do not want us to, the government to take over its primary responsibility to protect. And there's a threat that has been debunked and found was not there. And I can tell you that there's been no direct threat to the people in the POC from outside. That requires us to continue maintaining our protection plan. So, on Friday, this Friday, this has been discussed at the government level, Juba level, and the Malaka level here, that the government is willing and ready, is going to deploy a police force. And the police, we've got a lot of police people, former police in the POC here. They are going to be given a uniform, and they are going to be the police force, government police force, taking care of the security of the people. So I'm confident that the government will be able to exercise its responsibilities. But if it fails, we're here. We're not going anywhere. We are ready at any time where it is seen that there's a threat to the POC. And not only the POC, even Imotan and all these other places. So the moment we see that there's a threat, we are ready to go in and provide the protection. So we're not running away. Nobody should say that I'm is running away from this protection of signal mandate. No. We are going to be around, but the government must be allowed to exercise its primary responsibility and let people have respect for their government and feel the ownership, because they are paying taxes. So they should see the use of their taxes in the police and the judiciary and other administration. They should, in fact, when you go to the POC, a lot of people here work for the government. A lot of people who work for the Civil Aviation Authority stay in the POC. A lot of people who work in the prisons stay in the POC. Even the policemen stay in the POC. SSPDF have got their families here in the POC. So it really, if you are working for the government, working for Civil Aviation Authority,
working for SSNPS, and you still come here to say that you want to be protected by animus, then there's a problem. It's a big problem. And that's now a problem with psyche that has to be resolved. But as the UN, we're not going to allow that to happen when the government is able, but it can only come when the government is unable and unwilling. So far, the government has shown that it's capable. I'll give you the examples where it has done it. And even today, I think when you came around, you saw that you asked me, why are there so many military around here? I said, well, we had an issue that happened today, and they're coming here to show that, to tell people that we, as your government, were here with you.
Thank you so much, Alfred Orono. And you mentioned that the government is willing to protect the civilians. And today, we were able to visit the office of the deputy governor.
Yes.
To have arrangement for live interview tomorrow at this same time.
Yeah.
To talk about also some of the issues from the government side and how they are prepared to protect the civilians. However, on reaching to the office, we saw people running to the POC. What information do you have? What could have triggered the people running to the POC, and what's your analysis, or what have you got from the government side, and how are you going to work with the government to calm this fear that people have in Malacca?
As you were going there, I was also moving to town. We got this information about one guy around the road here who was killed. And whenever someone is killed here, people fear about revenge. And that's something that South Sudanese have to learn to deal with. One time when I was talking to them in the stadium, I told them, listen, South Sudan is a Christian country. You believe in the Bible. And if you look at the day when Jesus was killed, was when on the cross, he told his father, I said, my father, forgive those people. They don't know what they are doing. Now, my question to my brothers and sisters of South Sudan is that, how do you know that the person who was killed did not forgive the person who killed him? And what right do you have to go and revenge on their behalf if you are a Christian person? That is something that my brothers and sisters in South Sudan should think about. That maybe when you stop this cycle of revenge, things are going to be okay for all of us. We look at a murder of a person as an individual act, not an act targeted against a tribe, a criminal act. So-and-so has been killed by so-and-so. Not Shiluk has killed a Dinka, or a Dinka has killed a Shiluk. Say, Lam has killed Chan. Not Nuer has killed Shilo. You know, when we start looking at things that way, maybe we'll be able to move ahead. So what happened today was that reaction, the natural reaction. Well, they have killed this guy, that tribe. The person from my tribe killed that guy, so they are going to revenge. I don't want to be the victim. But usually, these things do not stay for a long time. Usually, it takes 24 hours, and then people's life comes back. It has been a cycle that we have gone through. And I think there's been a development. Because before it happened today, it will take like 3 or 4 months before things come down. But we have seen over the past 2 years that usually takes 1 day or 2 days and then life comes back normal. It's some level of resilience. And I think it's because people see that the government has taken action. It is deployed heavily around town, and ensuring that the shops are protected, there's no looting. You know, there's no looting that has ever happened from this incident. The government immediately takes over and protects the shops, and they protect the people.
So what's your message as a head of ANIS here, maybe in 1 minute?
My message is, let us stop these revenge killings. Let us, when someone is killed, let us leave the government to conduct the investigation. And to the government, please conduct investigations and let the people know the results of the investigation. Then they are going to have confidence in you. But if something happens and nothing is done, people think, some people are above the law. And then people don't trust the law. People want to see that when something happens, when a criminal act is done, someone has been killed, action is taken by the government to find the killers, and the killers are brought to book. We have built the courthouses, to the prisons and the police stations where those people should be taken, investigated, and taken to court. And people will be happy.
Thank you so much. We have 17 minutes to the top of the hour. We would like to give time to our listeners out there. But before that, we would like to hear from you about the supply route that ANMIS is supporting. How much progress have you made in this, and what is the impact on the communities?
For the past 2 years, we were successful in opening this road by February and March, which we were able to get the goods and services from Rank. All our shops here are full of commodities. Prices come down. People who burn their charcoal, fish sellers bring their fish quickly before they get rotten to Malacca. So we have a lot of food during this time. But this year, unfortunately, the rains were so, the floods were so bad that the whole road, like 26 kilometers of road from Malacca to Korinyanga, was impassable. We could not even get a place to get soil to put it. Then after Akoka, there's a place called Korwai. Korwai all the way to Paloch, water everywhere. So we did an alternate route, about 29 kilometers from the POC here, journey to Akoka Road. Now, next week, we hope to start another 100, brand new 100 kilometers all the way to Adara. It's about 100 kilometers, maybe 110 kilometers. If we started, it would take us about 3 or 4 weeks to open it just to make it possible. Once it's possible, then you can see goods and coming all the way from Rank to here, and we're able to go to Bunch and all other places. And we'll be able to get Maram to do the construction and the roads in Malacca town for us also in Andesia. So that's where we are. We're really let down. We spent so much energy on the main road, but all our energy has been washed away by the flood, which is terrible. We have done so much work and raised it. The road was raised to about 3 meters high from the water level, sometimes possibly 4 meters. And all that work has just gone like that, the flood. But this one is totally away from the water. It's dry. And the one from Akoka to Adar is also going in a dry area, not a single water. So it should be good.
Thank you so much. And it's a good news to hear that you're going to do another 100 kilometers. Yeah. And I wanted to say thank you so much. And for you who is listening to us there, and it's time for you to have a conversation. We'll be able to pick two or three calls, and we'll get back to our HOFO to respond to those comments or questions that will be coming from our listeners. Now, let me give it back to my colleague, Gabriel Sadar, to allow us to have conversation with the listeners. Over to you, Gabriel Sadar.
Yes, and the numbers are 0912067879 and 0912067929, and I can pick some callers after this very short interlude.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.
Hello, Nationwide. Hello.
Hello, Mirai.
Yes, welcome.
I wouldn't say I'm a left with Dakale. See, the one of the economy do you from the building for regular studio?
No, min mana?
Zakaria, sorry, not for me.
Zakaria, Marhabek.
Anna Bashur, a fellow for the award, it's coming to the Dakale studio, but maybe a war is coming to the kill. See, I got dinner, not from Albitao. I will umbar if you can add enough for Catalo. Umbar, you white, not for Catalo. Sual kida, hal indo maluma maukuma sawa hino tamu gapa au nazar gabadum nazar gari yakulu nazar gabadum walala, nazar bokulun del tapanda nas kida confuse ni, yamhugu tagriba ni nyan kilo talara kilo, talara na pere katelum de taban si tagriba mungu maigara talara kilo na onma si otama katelum, nazar katelum ma maru, wazol katelum umbara da katelum si deru. I'm going to go to the Malakal. mofor le kale shuara ko medina malakal ma zare da mo kuma la sezin e dam be modo ta shuara ko ko islama e shara kan khab am me mumkin ta ar nafsu lel khatar
okay
so then wada el wasf el bas walan kan el kasr la 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 na bisa uma zolal katalum bar la la na sa gar yet fil fil kalamu kalam be la la na gar yet fil fil na ma yusu an fudul wada la amni fi la alamin بدون كذب وضع لأنه خطير لأنه المشكلة الكبير بما موضوع القبيلة زي ما عنينا يتكلمنا بذلك لأنه الموضوع بتعلينه أعلى الأولاد من القتلهم ده لا يكونوا كده وال...
okay.
وله يعمل نفسه
okay.
ده المخوب الكبير
okay.
شكرا
okay. The caller is fearing revenge because as he said the issue is not insecurity that is related to politics but the issue of revenge those who are who have their sons killed, there is tension and they might be thinking of revenge. And also he's wondering about the collaboration with the government when the roads are still in dilapidated conditions and even cars and big cars, vehicles can still get stuck. Let me pick another caller. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome. Yeah. Welcome. What's calling?
Thank you. This is a call manager calling from Malakand.
A call, welcome.
Yeah, I'm going to comment on three things.
Yeah, just two things because of time. Yeah.
Okay, two things. One, citizens of Anai, it is always important we stay in peace. But there's nothing that will trigger us to stay in peace when we are not able to identify the culprits who commit all these crimes. Actually, the government... To seriously commit themselves to identifying and investigating the culprits. Mm-hmm. Two, all of those who become the citizens of all of those who become the victim of this are innocent citizens who are trying to look after their life.
Mm-hmm.
But if it happened that they become the victim,
yep.
How do we treat citizens? This is totally disturbing our stability. And it is also disturbing our productivity. And as well, it will also disturb us psychologically because we will not stay calm and concentrate on our productivity as citizens.
Yeah.
So I urge the government and the peacekeepers to seriously commit themselves in identifying the culprits and holding them accountable. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. A call from Avanail in Malakal there. Hello, Nationwide.
Yes, good evening, Gabriel Joseph Chidar. This is Tango Julio. Let me just ask three questions quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, my first question, there was an African Union report, and some people within the POC participated in that, and they fear for their life. Now, the POC will be handed over to the security. What is the safety of those individuals that may say, I'm not safe? That's the first. The second thing is, in 2013, 64 tribe and another nationality went to POC, but 13 years later, it is only one tribe that is still in POC. Why is that? And the last thing is, Rono said these things are criminal in nature, but the way they are happening, they are occurring along the ethnic line. Do the criminal know the ethnicity? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And the last caller here. Hello? Hello? Hello, I've given you the
yes,
line. Yes.
Hello, Radio Maria. You're speaking to Sir Simon from Watalela PM, Juriba County, Western Barracks Valley State.
Welcome.
Thank you. In the first place, I appreciate the host, the one that is, so you are hosting in the Unimisset Pillow Post here from this one, Bantu, right?
No, Malakal.
Malakal. Thank you for your job as the MPD. So, put some spirit of promoting peace in some cases. I think that is in all the locations where I saw universities operating, it is only they are carrying away the activities within the town. The peace that they are promoting is within the town. Why is that? Seriously, to let people who are dying of peace and protection also, which are there. The villages, let's be feeding from them. Because most people are vulnerable. are the two victims of Arab war sometimes is mostly people who are in rural areas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For example, you can go to Pachoda.
Yeah.
In Pachoda, go to the you can see how people run. A lot of people run and make some displays.
Yeah, we got your...
and a lot of things.
Yeah, we got your point, brother. Thank you very much for your question there. Why UNMISS is operating mainly in towns and not going to... maybe he has not heard about patrols and all these kind of things. So, Taban and your guests, back to you. And we are left with 4 minutes to conclude.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gabriel Sadar. And I think because of time, let me give the mic straight away to our hopeful Alfred Orono. Orono, please come in and answer some of those questions in a short moment so that you can have also time for your final message.
Just quickly, I appreciate the frustration. And I think the first caller, I think I agree with him. And if you listen to me carefully, I say that the killers need to be identified. The culprits need to be identified and brought to the book. When you do that, then people have confidence in the administration of justice. And people will say, okay, things are done. So I agree with you on that. And in terms of roads in town, yeah, there are roads in town. But I think this big road connects more people. There are people who are in areas that are not connectable, who want to come to Malakal, they can't come to Malakal. Within Malakal, even those roads which are bad, people are still moving around. So we deal with the priorities here. UN does not have a budget which is endless. So we are focusing on connecting people who are cut off by water, who cannot come to Malakal. This road that goes all the way to Rank connects to Bunj, and from Bunj even goes down to Maiwod. So you get everybody connected. So that's what we're doing with priorities. We don't have a lot of money to do everything. And I think all the other questions, I think the answers already there, already been already talked about them. About UNMISS being in towns alone, as I said, we are patrols. And when we're building a road connecting those villages, it means we're not just sitting in town, at least in Upper Nile here, that I know. And I think the same thing in the other places. You find people going on patrols in Rang, to all different in Kwajok, to different places. So we are not just in town. Maybe you are living in town, that's what you see us in town, but you don't see us when you're out of town. Maybe that's the issue. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Alfred. Alfred, maybe this is a good time for you to say your final messages and your to the people listening to you in maybe 1 or 2 minutes as we close the program.
My final message to the people of Upper Nile is that, my brothers and sisters, let us try to live in peace. When you are living in Juba, you live close to a Nuer and a Dinka and a Shiluk and everyone. You go to clubs, you go drink and everything. I don't know what happens when you get in the boat on the plane and arrive into Upper Nile. Then you start changing. No, you should be living here the way you are living in Juba and elsewhere. If you go to Canada and the U.S., you find these people are together. They have got parties and everything together, living nicely. Let us do the same here. And without peace, there will be no development. Because when you want to build a road and then there's a fighting along the way, like this Akoka route, had to withdraw the Indians from working on the road because someone had been killed along the way. So please, let us have peace. Let us really concentrate on peace and everything will be okay. Development will come. If we do not have peace, then the government is going to be bogged into fighting wars and fighting wars and fighting wars without any development. So let us have peace. Let us try to love one another like you are doing in Juba, you are doing in Canada, you are doing in Australia, you are doing everywhere. Let us bring that to Upper Nile here.
Thank you so much, Alfred Orono. Orono, the head of field office of UNMISS in Malakal State. And for those of you who are listening, we want to say thank you to all of you and those who managed to call in. Before we take the mic back to Gabriel Sadar, tomorrow morning, please tune in because we are going to be bringing new voices from Upper Nile State in Malakal. And also, we'll be having beats with fishermen and vegetable sellers or something like that from the riverside. And in the evening, again, we'll have the deputy governor of Upper Nile State to talk to the people on the situation in Upper Nile. So please stay tuned, and you'll listen to more voices from the people of Upper Nile State. Over to you, Gabriel Sadala, and thank you so much for having us live from Upper Nile State. My name is Taban Geoffrey Koma. Stay tuned. Bye for now, and over to you, Gabriel Sadala.
Thank you very much, Taban Geoffrey, and your guest, Orono Orono, the head of field office in Malakal Unimist field office. And thanks to the listeners who have been following us, and also we'll have you again tomorrow. And this brings us to the end of today's Nationwide Discussion Hour on the Miraya on the Road, coming from Upper Nile State. So it's all from me here in the studio, Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.